Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
How many have ever said the phrase, "I never saw that coming"? You ever said that before? Matter of fact, since I knew that today's message is called "Never Saw It Coming," it's amazing how many times the last few weeks we've caught ourselves saying that phrase. Several months ago, I went out on Facebook getting ready for today, and I asked this question a few months ago, and I asked, are there things in your life that you never saw coming or things you never expected? And many of you logged on to Facebook. You gave me your answer. And I'm going to read some of those this morning. I'm assuming since you put them on social media, you don't mind that they show up here as well. If you did mind, oops. But these are things that you never saw coming. Things I never saw coming. Hannah said, I never saw losing my dad at 20 years old. I never expected it, but through tragedy, I've learned how precious life is and how much I appreciate my loved ones. Sarah said, I never saw it coming. I never saw baby number one coming 10 weeks early and my ambulance catching on fire while being transported for delivery of baby number two. I never saw that coming. Steve said, I never expected to have a friend turn on me. Misty said, I never saw this coming. Cancer at 29 and divorce. Dorothy said, I never saw the loss of my son coming. Then years down the road, God allowing me to minister to others regarding my loss. Tammy said, I never saw a 13-year-old boy taking my 11-year-old son's life purposely. And then 17 years later, the Lord rescuing my heart from bitterness. Christine said, I never expected my husband to become paralyzed in his 30s. Chico, one of our missionary pastors, says, I never saw it coming that I would lose two sons, Micah and Judah. He also never saw it coming that he would be pardoned by Jesus and also be being pardoned by the governor of Arkansas. He was guilty for sure, but through the process, all of his rights that he had forfeited were restored. Tracy said, I never saw it coming. I never saw the loss of my 20-year-old daughter in a tragic car accident. George says, I never saw it coming, moving to Arkansas and discovering a church family that I love. Amanda said, I never saw it coming that I would lose my dad on Christmas Eve at the age of 7. Cindy said, I never saw it coming that I would be robbed at gunpoint. Damaris said, I never saw it coming, a husband who is a good man and loves my children as his own. Jackie said, I never saw my 3-year-old daughter diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Praise God, in a few months, she'll be a 6-year survivor. Amen? Christina said, I never saw myself ever being saved or set free, but I've been clean now for 5 years. Tina said, I never expected to find love again, but now I'm blessed beyond measure. Jordan said, I never expected my parents to die before I turned 23. Melissa said, I never saw it coming, my son being a heroin addict. And through 13 months of rehab, now being clean for 19 months and self-reliant. There's a lot of things we never saw coming. I never saw myself being a father of 2 beautiful girls in the way that God delivered them to us. But all of these things you shared with me and that I've shared with you this morning brings one thing home. One point I hope is perfectly clear this morning, and I hope it resonates with all of us, is that the biggest events of our life, most of us never saw coming. Would you agree with that this morning? Many of the life-altering moments of our life we never expected, we never saw coming. And this morning we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. We're talking about Easter. And you may be wondering, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with Easter? Here's what it has to do with Easter. Nothing about the resurrection of Jesus did anyone expect to happen. Did you know that? Did you know on the first Easter morning, the day that Jesus rose from the grave, there were not a club or a group of disciples watching their clock, waiting for the third day to come alive because he'd promised them that in 3 days I'm going to rise again. No, they weren't watching the clock. They were nowhere to be found. No one saw the resurrection coming. You've met some skeptics to the gospel, haven't you? You've met some people that just find it impossible to believe that Jesus came into earth the way he came, lived the life he lived, died a sacrificial death, and rose again on the third day. You've met some skeptics who've said to you, I just don't believe that. What can I tell you? You've never met a greater skeptic than the people who were alive in Jesus' day. They saw him buried. They saw him beaten. And they didn't expect his coming or his raising to life. Here's our text, Mark chapter 16, verse number 1. The first Easter Sunday, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And they entered the tomb. They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Talk about biblical understatements. They were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. Can we read the next three words together on your mark, get set, go? He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But now go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we count it a great privilege to celebrate in this house together what you've done for us corporately. Lord, we have life and life abundant. We have hope beyond today and even beyond this life because you rose from the grave. Lord, I pray that today, in the next few minutes of time, you anoint me to speak your words that you want us to hear today. And the Holy Spirit, you will help our ears, our hearts, and our minds to understand what you want us to understand and glean from what you want us to glean from and experience the transformation you want to experience today. And we'll give you thanks for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. So here's the first context of Easter. No one's expecting Jesus to rise from the grave. No one saw this coming. Mary is going to the tomb of her dead son. Jesus had been beaten so brutally, rushed away so quickly, being buried at the late hour. She didn't have time to do for her son what a good mom would want to do for a son who's passed away. So now she's showing up 3 days later to do what a mom can do, to anoint his body for burial, to pay her last respects. And when she shows up, he's missing. And the angel reports to her, he's alive. This news is so good. No one saw it coming. It's so astonishing. No one could ever believe that it was happening. But here it is. It was happening. Despite that no one saw it coming, Jesus is alive. And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're Mary, or if you're Martha, or if you're James or John, you are excited. Your mind is being blown that Jesus is alive. This is excellent news. It's changing history forever if you're a follower of Christ. But what if you're not a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you if you're just one of the ones that saw him get killed 3 days ago? Or what if you're one who used to follow Jesus but's blown it? What does it mean to you? What does it mean if your name is Peter, who used to be one of the boldest advocates for Jesus, who just a few days ago in the closing hours of Jesus' life betrayed him 3 times? What does it mean to you if you're feeling divorced from God's love, or you're feeling divorced from God's plan, you're feeling ostracized by the plan that you know God once had for you. What does the resurrection mean to you? Well, there's two words that have really found their way into my heart this Easter season. The two words that has really lodged in my heart this past season is these two words when Jesus said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." Do you know why Jesus called for Peter by name? Because if Jesus had not called Peter by name, there's no way Peter would have ever shown up. His crime was too horrible. It was too public. People saw it. It was predicted. And Peter said, "I'll never do it." Peter never saw it coming. But in all of Peter's hopelessness and helplessness and failure, Jesus spoke to him and said, "Go get my disciples and Peter." I want to tell you this morning, if you're sitting in the room, if you're watching online, and you've experienced failure in your life, you've experienced a disappointment in your life, you're experiencing a season of your life that you never saw coming, can I tell you, Jesus has hope for you, even in the moments you never saw coming. So I want to talk to you real quickly this morning about what can we learn from the resurrection this morning. What can we learn about the season of our life that we never saw coming? The first thing I want you to learn this morning, if you got your notes, you can follow along. The outline of this message is on the back of that bulletin you're handed on your way in. And here's the first thing that Peter tells us, or Peter teaches us, is that we discover Peter never saw failure coming. Right? If you know your Bible history, you know that just a few days before the resurrection, Jesus actually tells Peter face to face, "Hey, that you're going to fail me, you're going to deny me." And Peter talked back to Jesus, which never works out, by the way. Peter talks back to Jesus and he says, "Lord, if everyone denies you, I would never do that. I would rather die for you than deny you." Peter did exactly what he said he would never do. Have you ever done exactly what you said you would never do? It's hard to recover from that. But that's where Peter was. But despite that he never saw failure coming, Jesus knows his failure. And Jesus knows our failure. And he loves us anyway. Would you listen to Nanetta's story this morning?
I was raised in church, and as a young girl, I gave my heart to the Lord. And when I was 9 years old, I was called into the ministry, and God really was important in my life. And I loved the Lord and was baptized in the Holy Spirit and called into the ministry. When I was a junior in high school, I got involved in a relationship with a guy who was an unbeliever. And I made that relationship and him my idol, my God. And then I found myself being sexually involved with him, which I wasn't raised, and I knew that wasn't pleasing to God. And then what I didn't see coming at the age of 18, that I was pregnant. So here I am, 18 years old, just graduated from high school, and I'm pregnant with fear and just in that place of not knowing what to do. Instead of going to my parents and asking for help, I felt pressure and hopelessness, and so I caved in to my boyfriend's desires and had an abortion. And at that point, it was a really low point in my life, and I just turned to God, and I knew that He is the one that truly forgives, and I repented, and God just changed my life and set me free. And that Danetta, I don't even recognize that person. That person's dead, because God did such an amazing transformation in my life, truly making me a new creature in Christ, and that I am truly forgiven, and I don't have to walk in the past of what I've done, because God has truly forgiven me, and I'm thankful for what all He's done for me, and that He was merciful to me, saving me and getting me out of that situation and giving me a wonderful husband and three beautiful children. He truly does take the broken and make it new.
Thank you, Danetta, for sharing your story with us. It's evidence that even when we do things we said we would never do. As Peter discovered, Jesus knows our faults, he knows our failure, and he loves us anyway. Did Jesus want Peter to fail? No. Did Jesus plan Peter's failure? No. But Jesus loved him despite his failure. And if you're sitting in this room this morning, if you are feeling captive to a sin in your past today, you're feeling captive to a mistake in your past, I want you to know that Jesus knows exactly what you've done. He knows exactly what you're going through, but he loves you anyway. There's no such thing as a fail-proof life, a fail-proof marriage, or a fail-proof relationship. There is, however, Jesus, who knows our failure and desires us anyway. Amen? It seems like every week we find ourselves watching the television. We find ourselves reading something online where another leader, whether it's a spiritual leader or a political leader, we see someone in some high position who has had some sort of failure. And friends, I'll just be honest with you. Used to, I would see people and I'd see their failure and I would say, how could they ever do that? But now when I read those same articles you read and see those same videos you see, instead of judging, the Holy Spirit's teaching me that that's the same grace that they need in that moment. It's the grace that Jesus extended to me. And he'll extend it to you this morning. Jesus knows our failure, but he loves us anyway. Second, this morning, what do I do with the seasons of my life I never saw coming? Here's the second thing Peter never saw. He never saw the resurrection coming. He never expected Jesus to rise again on the third day. But here's the good news, is the resurrection power of Jesus is greater than your failure. I've got to say that again this morning. The resurrection power of Jesus is greater than your failure. Peter left the moment of Christ being beaten to death. He left that moment in sorrow. He left that moment in hopelessness. He left that moment, the Bible says, he wept bitterly. But friends, there was hope beyond his helplessness. The resurrection power of Jesus, he would discover, was greater than his failure and is greater than your failure. Peter's failure started because he basically thought he could do life on his own. He could stand for God on his own. He could live independently and through sheer willpower make his life produce the things he wanted to do. We know Peter's story. Before the resurrection, he was a repeat offender of just, you know, sticking his foot in his mouth and acting without, seemingly without thought. But he discovered he couldn't do life on his own. He discovered he needed the resurrection power of Jesus. I want to ask you to look at our children's pastor, Pastor Dave's story. As he shares how he discovered that he needed the power of Jesus as well.
I never really went to church my whole life. And I don't think I ever really picked up the Bible and read it. And I couldn't even remember all the things, why I did what I did. Why I got high, why I drank, why I did all those things. I was a good person inside, like a lot of us are, and we think, man, we're a good person, we got it going on. But I was so lost inside. I was searching, like a lot of us are in our life, for whatever would fulfill me, find pleasure, searching, you know. But then I was invited to come here, and I remember just coming in, and just sitting in the back pew. I don't remember if I got up and smoked a joint that morning, but I was a user since I was 13 years old. When I walked out of the door after service, it was like I was walking out of a lifelong prison sentence. I was just set free, and I don't even know what happened to me. I didn't see it coming. I wasn't looking for anything from God or Christ, never really knew anything about him, but I didn't see it coming. But I knew when I walked out, something was different in my life. And I was free. I didn't ever smoke a joint ever again. I didn't ever drink ever again. I didn't ever party ever again. I didn't do any of those things. all I remembered, I was like on cloud nine. I was just on the greatest high that I've ever experienced in my life. It was incredible. My heart was full of joy, and it was just overflowing. It was just an incredible afternoon. I remember wanting to come back that night. And I remember coming back that night, and I remember if they asked for people to come out in the aisle, we could pray about anything. And I remember this. I walked out there in the aisle, and the men had gathered around me. I still remember some of you guys. Some of you are here today. And, you know, I asked, what could we pray for you about? And I said, all I know is whatever happened this morning, I wanted more of it. It was just the power of the gospel. I remember in Romans 1:6, it says, don't be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. Man, I came a believer, not expecting anything, not looking for anything. But he changed my life.
Jesus can change the moments you never saw coming. He can redeem the moments. And no matter what your current situation is today, can I tell you the resurrection power of Jesus is greater than what you're facing? Jesus knew that Peter's life could be transformed even in the midst of failure. Even before Peter's biggest failure, Jesus said these words to Peter. Peter, I've prayed for you that when you return, that you will strengthen your brothers. You know, Peter's not found on the scene of Easter morning. He's not found waiting for Jesus to rise on the third day. Why? Because he's done too much. He's gone too far. Some of you in this room, you may feel like Peter. Pastor, you don't understand. I've lived too long without him. I've gone too far in my sin. I've done too much. My hope is over. My fate is secure. Is secure in failure. That's where Peter felt. But the resurrection proved that there was hope for Peter, and there's hope for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, that your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But here's the thing. The fact that Christ did rise from the dead lets us know that our sins can be forgiven and our life can be changed. No one saw the resurrection coming, but it changed Peter's life. And this morning, I want you to know it can change your life too. There's an account found in John chapter 20 after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus shows up in a room where the disciples were gathered. The interesting thing about this account is when Jesus shows up to this room, the disciples are gathered, the doors are locked. And without opening the door, Jesus just walked through the door and made his presence known to them. And I read that to you this morning because I want you to know, no matter how imprisoned, you heard Pastor Dave said that phrase, no matter how imprisoned or locked up you feel today, Jesus can enter your place and he can set you free today. Nothing can stop Jesus from showing up and bringing transformation to your life except for you. Except for the invitation of your heart saying, Jesus, come on in. Make me new. Forgive me. Redeem me. Use me once again. If you'll say that prayer today, Jesus can change you too. Amen? He really can. Peter never saw failure coming, but just like every one of us, he failed. Peter never saw the resurrection coming, neither did anyone else living that day. If you think, well, Pastor, I'm more spiritual than they were, I would have been waiting for the third day. Probably not. If his own mother wasn't expecting him to rise from the dead, if the people that walked with him every day for 3 years and saw him heal the lame man and raise the dead and give sight to the blinded eyes, the people that saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, if they weren't expecting Jesus to rise, we probably wouldn't have either. But the third thing Peter never saw coming was Peter never saw forgiveness coming. He never saw his failure coming. But he also never saw forgiveness coming. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just love you despite your failure. He wants to forgive you of your failure. Jesus offers you forgiveness for your failure. Verse number 7, Jesus said, now go get my disciples and Peter. Why? Because I want to use him too. Jesus knew exactly what Peter had done. And yet he chose to offer forgiveness anyway. Let's listen to Cassie's story this morning.
If you don't know, my name is Cassie Taylor. I work in the preschool with the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. I was saved and baptized at 8 years old, but as I grew older, I ran away from God. I started using drugs and alcohol when I was 16 years old. I met my husband at 19, Jeremy, and he showed me what true love was all about. We have 2 boys. Connor is 13 and Evan is 9. And when I married Jeremy, I knew that he wasn't saved. So I began to pray for his salvation. We went to my hometown church for a little bit, but we still continued to use drugs. And then we came to the assembly. And that's when I seen just how powerful God can be. Jeremy turned his life over to God, and I rededicated my life in 2013. They say the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he used me to attack my family. I had an affair, and I started using drugs again. Jeremy and I separated in 2015, and my whole world fell apart piece by piece. My dad passed away of a massive heart attack, and I was completely lost. I had nowhere else to turn. So once again, I turned to God. At this time, Jeremy had told me that he wanted a divorce, and there was no hope for our marriage. So I began to pray for God's will in my marriage. I knew at this point in time that God was the only one that could change Jeremy's heart. I didn't see it coming, but Jeremy forgave me, and he let me come back home to live with him and the boys. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." The Lord has rescued me, and he can rescue you too.
Thank you, Jeremy and Cassie, for sharing your story. You know, you're never more like Jesus than the moment you choose to offer forgiveness. And you're never more aware, of what Jesus has done for you than you are in the moment you realize you need forgiveness. Peter was keenly aware that he needed the forgiveness of Jesus. The question was, would he receive it? Had his sin been too gross? Had his life been too much of a failure? Because he didn't just fail one time. He was a repeat offender, like me, and like probably many of us. Forgiveness, when you find yourself a repeat offender against God, forgiveness sometimes feels out of reach. I remember the story that Jesus told about a prodigal son who asked his earthly father for all the riches that would one day belong to him, and his father gave him to him, and the son went off and he squandered everything he had to the point he was making his living taking care of pigs, and he was starving, no place to live, and he thought, even the servants in my father's house are treated better than this. So he thought in his mind, and here's where you and I mess up. We often try to approach God with our way of thinking and the way that we would treat people from our heart. So the prodigal son thought, I'll go back to my father and I'll tell him, I know I'm not worthy to be a son, but just make me a servant. Because life would be better if I could just be a servant. Of course, you know the story. If you do, he went home, and while he's a far ways off, his father saw him coming and he ran to him and he covered him with a new robe. He put a ring on his finger. He completely forgave him and welcomed him back in. I want you to know this morning that God is anticipating your return. Jesus called Peter by name, and today he is doing the same for you. He is calling you by name, calling you into a new relationship with him that is filled with his power, filled with his blessing, filled with his joy, filled with his hope, and filled with his forgiveness. Would you respond to his call today? Peter never saw forgiveness coming, but Jesus offers forgiveness for your failure. He walked out of the grave to deliver it to you and to me. Here's the fourth thing that Peter didn't expect. Peter never expected for Jesus to use him again. But I want you to know, Jesus can still use you beyond your failure. In John chapter 21, Peter's out fishing with a few more disciples. He's out fishing because he doesn't know what else to do. He's heard the news that Jesus is alive. He's seen Jesus. He knows that Jesus has forgiven him. He knows that Jesus loves him. But he's out fishing because what else do you do when you're an out-of-work disciple? There's no one to preach to. No one to tell. So he goes back to what he used to do, and he goes back to fishing. And Jesus meets him on the shore that day, and he tells Peter three different times. He asked him, "Do you love me?" And Peter responded, "Lord, you know I love you." Then Jesus said, "Well, then feed my sheep, shepherd my people." It's basically what he's saying. He was letting Peter know that just because you failed, just because you blew it, just because you did what you said you would never do, you became what you said you would never become, even though you've done things that others would say you're disqualified from doing anything for me, I want to use you anyway. It's easy to feel that way. Alex is going to share with you her story, how she felt that way.
Hi, my name's Alex, and my dad, I grew up him being a pastor, and my mom is on staff. I decided that life without God wasn't a good option, and life with God wasn't a good option, so I decided to do what I want. Then I went to youth camp, and I decided I want to live for Jesus, and that I wanted to stop what I was doing. But then afterwards, it was worse. I cut myself and I didn't eat at one point, and I just had lost the people that I was using to make myself feel okay, and I felt completely alone. And I dabbled in everything, in the party scene or whatever. And that was like my life. Like, I let in all those bad habits. I knew I needed to stop vaping, and that was what God was telling me to do. But I was having a really difficult time because I was addicted, and that's the way I lived. And I never saw it coming, but I got a call inviting me to tour Atlanta Leadership College. And through that, God used it. I got to tour, and I never thought that I would go there. I wasn't able to vape while I was there. And so when I came back, I was like, I'm sticking to this. God has just opened so many doors and changed.
Thanks, Alex, for sharing your story. She's committed to allow God to use her for ministry. We'll be pursuing that in school next fall. See, there's no such thing as a person that God can't use. I won't say that again. There's no such thing as a person God can't use. And that would be a great, great amen for a Sunday school class of 8 people. But for a sanctuary full of people today, let's try that again. There's no person that God cannot use. Amen? That means you. That even means Peter, the guy who did what he said he would never do, predicted by Jesus, denied by Peter. And Jesus chose to use him anyway. See, there's no such thing as second-rate Christians. When God saves you, he saves you completely. He calls you completely for his purpose. The resurrection was something that no one saw coming, yet it changed everything. And today, what you think is too far gone, who you think is too far gone, can be redeemed, even if that person is you. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Megan's going to come. Peter never saw failure coming, but Jesus did, and he made a way back. Peter never saw the resurrection coming, but Jesus did, and wanted Peter to have life after his devastation. Peter never saw forgiveness coming, but Jesus did, and he called Peter by name. Peter never saw God using him again, but Jesus did and desired to use him greatly. And he desires to use you greatly as well. What you did not see coming does not have to be the end of the story. When Jesus died on the cross, people thought it's the end of the story. But it was just the beginning. Today, if your heart seems imprisoned, your life seems imprisoned by sin, maybe you find yourself in a prison sentence you never saw coming. Listen, Jesus knows. And he has forgiveness for you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.